This is Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. If you followed our coverage of the state budget stalemate, you might have noticed that one of the key issues was school funding. You might even recall the reason, which is that Illinois has the most inequitable funding system in the country. A handful of lawmakers have made honest efforts to fix it, and don't worry, I'm not going to rehash those proposals. But the thing is, it doesn't seem to matter what policies are contained in a plan. Most lawmakers have only one question, and that's how much state aid would their constituent schools gain or lose? They find their answers in spreadsheets produced by number crunchers like this one.
I'm Jessica Handy. I'm the Government Affairs Director with Stand for Children, Illinois.
So the reason I wanted to talk to you is because you're the person that I've heard at various hearings over the past few months concerning school funding. You're the person who has gotten up and explained the math to lawmakers. So just for my own comfort, you don't have like an advanced degree in math or something.
No, I have a degree in Spanish and history.
Okay, so it's possible for people without an advanced degree in math to understand education funding.
Yes.
Okay, so there's been various proposals for education funding, and each proposal that comes out, there's a spreadsheet that shows how much each district would win or lose. And the way I like to look at spreadsheets is when you land on a cell, you see the formula pop up in the formula bar. These seem to have been copied as value only. So you just see the number and you don't see the formula. Am I right? Is that how you guys do it?
We Stand for Children?
I mean, you generally lobbyists, because you're not the only group that puts out spreadsheets. And the version that goes to lawmakers probably is a printout, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is a PDF'd copy of whatever that Excel spreadsheet was to begin with.
Okay, so what's the mystery to me is what the actual formulas are to these different proposals. You can show me those, right? If you show me, do you have to kill me?
So have you heard the joke that there are only five people in Springfield that know how the general state aid formula works and they're never allowed on the plane together? I would say over the last 3 years of funding reform, a lot of people have learned way more about the formula, a lot of lawmakers, a lot of policy people, advocates, than they ever thought they would learn either. So people are getting smarter about this.
Okay, so now there's more than five.
But let's be clear, like, I'm not one of the five. I would say, you know, as far as people that can actually take the raw data and plug it in where it goes, ISBE has people that can do that, that are really sharp data analysts.
And when you say ISBE, you mean the Illinois State Board of Education?
Correct. And then I think there are a few other advocates that have really gotten into the weeds on this, and I am not there. So just to be clear, like, if I had to take the raw data and calculate how much general state aid every district would get from scratch, I couldn't do it.
Let's consider you a translator, an interpreter.
Great. I love that idea.
Okay, so to see the formula, you go to the school code. How many pages is that?
Probably smaller than a War and Peace, but bigger than a Nancy Drew. So of the education budget, picture it like a pie chart. Two-thirds of it is going to general state aid. One-quarter of it is going to mandated categoricals. Mandated categoricals are programs like special education services, transportation, and free breakfast and lunch. And then the remaining amount goes to things like early childhood education, bilingual education, and then lots of smaller programs, you know, assessments, those sorts of things.
Where does the poverty grant fall in that?
So it's within that two-thirds.
Explain how that's calculated.
It goes out the door based on the concentration of kids in poverty. So if you have very few students in poverty, like less than 15% of your district, that district gets $355 per kid in poverty. Now, if your concentration of students in poverty is way higher, like let's say it's 100%, you're going to get almost $3,000 per kid in poverty. And this is the formula that I know some people have read out in committees and things that make our formula sound especially complicated. And it's 294.25 plus the product of the district poverty concentration ratio squared times 2,700. All of that times the number of low-income kids.
Okay. Read that one more time.
So it's 294.25 plus the district concentration ratio, the poverty ratio, squared times 2,700, and then all of that multiplied by the number of low-income kids.
What's the 294.25? What is that?
So the 294.25 is just a number they backed into because of the flat grant.
And the 2,700 is the other static number there, 2,700 square. Where does that number come from?
My understanding is that people just kind of played around with it until they got something that looked right. And I'll tell you, even if you don't understand that, a lot of people, I think, that have had maybe algebra 2 understand that if there's a squared in that graph, it's a curve, not a straight line. So sometimes we talk about this being curvilinear, and people tell me to quit using the word curvilinear. But I think a lot of people can, you know, picture a curve on your graph and think about those districts that are in the middle of the curve and how if it had been a straight line, those districts would be getting more per kid in poverty.
Where the y-axis is money and the x-axis is the percentage of poor kids.
Exactly, exactly.
Most of the proposals to fix Illinois school funding include a removal of that square. That one little tweak turns the graph that looks sort of like a fishhook into an arrow arcing diagonally upward. Who came up with taking out the square?
This is something Voices for Illinois Children has been talking about for years, that having a curve instead of a line really shortchanges a lot of those middle poverty districts. And so when we looked at changing the formula, really under the integrated formula, which was Senator Menard's Senate Bill 231, under the evidence-based formula, none of these things have that curvilinear nature to them. And then when the final budget got done with kind of freezing allocations where they were and then putting new money into a side pot that would go based on poverty in some way, we were proposing an equity grant, which was different than the poverty grant. It was not curvilinear, and it also would have incorporated both property value and poverty into the same calculation.
But Illinois lawmakers chose not to do that. Instead, they settled on a slight modification of the current funding system.
The one that passed actually kind of mimics the square. It says that districts would get $250 million in the same proportion as it got in the poverty grant last year.
This change is only temporary. The broader debate over school funding will resume in November. Handy, along with a lot of other number crunchers, say it has to.
The formula could be made to be more equitable, for sure, but the whole system overall is what's broken. It's the fact that we have all of these categorical programs that aren't integrated in the formula. It's the fact that we rely so heavily on property taxes, which drives a lot of inequity because those areas that have high property values can raise their tax rate a little tiny bit and raise a lot of money for their schools, whereas you have other districts, East St. Louis, Ford Heights, lots of these districts that might, you know, have low property values and they can raise their rate up to 7%, 8% and still can't possibly tax themselves into equity. We have a horrible, inequitable education funding system that's the worst in the country.